You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Hey!
Hey, welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City. It is Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Sarah Walsh alongside Kyle Brandt, hello, Jason McCourty, and a two-time Super Bowl winner in Chris Hogan. We keep all the Super Bowl winners on this side of the table. Kyle, what do we got over
you
here?
Have an intro, you have an intro with me at Super Bowl. Like yesterday, it was all two-time, and you never said like, and Super Bowl champion.
Well, Chris said it. You have to win more than one.
I know.
I mean, it's just, I did say everyone on that side of the table has won.
Yeah,
Super Bowl,
it was like
on
a
this
side
of the table. We've graduated from high school. I don't know. What else do we have?
1995 honorable mention All-State. Honorable
Let's go.
Mention. But listen, usually it's Peter here, and so Jason gets to be the bell of the ball with his fancy Super Bowl ring, and then Hogan's just dunking on you. Played in three, won two. It's pretty cool.
Not for me. He doesn't have two of them, though.
What do you mean?
I made a play of the game without that play. he's a one-time Super Bowl champion.
So you're welcome. You're not wrong.
You're welcome.
That's you're not wrong.
It's incredible. You know what I'm most excited about for today that's non-football related? The Lax Bros. We got a Lax Bro. Because I don't know the Lax Bro world.
We've been doing a lot of reflecting on Good Morning Football this last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Back in early 2017, our first viral clip ever was me talking about Lax Bros because there was a lacrosse dude playing in the Super Bowl, and he's across the table from me right now. So Chris and I are going to get into Lax culture.
I played lacrosse. I don't know if you guys know this.
Yeah.
Because right? It comes up every now and then when I do media.
Yes. Antonio Gates played basketball. Chris Hogan played lacrosse. That's the way that it goes. Yeah. And Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. We got a lot of stuff to get into.
Child Monmouth.
We have a lot to get into. So it is time for the lead block.
Lead block.
The Texans had a huge turnaround last season under first-year head coach D'Amico Ryans, going from 3 wins in 2022 to a 10-win season, a division title, and a playoff win, all with a rookie quarterback. At the annual league meeting in Orlando yesterday, Coach Ryan spoke about what he expects to see from C.J. Stroud this year. So the question now is, and if you go back a year ago, and actually on NFL.com, I was reading Judy Batista has an article out there about how they do these predictions on who has these turnarounds. And she's like, hey, I'm the first to say we got it wrong. No one looked at the Texans and said, I was just reading this a couple days ago. And she's like, I'll take full blame. Like, we didn't say the Texans are going to be this team that turns it around. Given what they did, 3 wins to 10 wins to what they did in the postseason, do you consider the Texans now a serious threat in the AFC, Jason?
I just want to take time and just acknowledge the fact that it is 7 o'clock and we're talking about the Houston Texans.
Come on now.
There you go.
Last time we did this, Kyle was showing one of his favorite plays, and you know what that one was. The Houston Texans lost the number one pick when Lovie Smith beat the Indianapolis Colts, and we talked about that play for about a week or two straight leading up. Who knew that Nick Cassero was going to flip that to draft number 2, C.J. Stroud, and then number 3, Will Anderson Jr. So shout out to the Houston Texans for the moves that they have made. to get them at Good Morning Football, 7:03 a.m., and we're talking about them as potential contenders for real in the AFC. I look at what Houston did, and Sarah, you said it, from three wins from last in their division to first place and also winning a home playoff game against the Cleveland Browns before going on the road losing in the divisional. And we're talking about C.J. Stroud taking another step. I look at Nick Cassero, the general manager, and the moves that he made. A year ago in the free agency, he brought in guys, and it was Dalton Schultz, Jimmy Ward at the top of that list. No big name signings. And now this year he's gone in. Danielle Hunter chooses to go to Houston to go back home. Takes less money. Also, Joe Mixon at the top of that list via trade. So many different guys, but not all huge names. And Cassero has done a great job since getting there of adding value guys to come in there and turn that organization around. I look at this year, you're able to get different guys in free agency and wanting to come to Houston. A lot of that is due to their head coach, DeMeco Ryans. And when he was hired last year, we all kind of said it. Houston has been in turmoil. We had Deshaun Watson. He was exiting. Then they had David Culley as a head coach. Fire him. Then they go to Lovie Smith. Then they fire Lovie Smith. And DeMeco Ryans, everyone said he is the perfect guy to come in here. A guy that played here, was drafted here, defensive rookie of the year, and now he is coming back. And this is the part of DeMeco Ryans, which as a fan, we love watching. But it looks like within that building, players love playing for him, celebrating with his guys on the sideline. I remember linebacker Christian Harris had a play where he almost got an interception against the Tennessee Titans. DeMeco Ryans is going nuts on the sideline, and he says to him, that was your play. They get to the playoffs, he intercepts it, and he takes it back to the crib. DeMeco Ryans has a connection with his players that guys look like they love being there. They love competing. Say all that to say the Houston Texans, I believe, are a real contender in the AFC. C.J. Stroud, the way he played as a rookie before getting injured, we were talking about him as a possible MVP candidate. Yeah. So now going into year two, you know the playbook. You know what to expect. You're not going through the entire rookie program. You're there. You're a veteran in a sense now. And I think they can take another step.
A contender, Jay.
A contender.
That contender means that's the two letters, K and C. Like that, KC. That contender means like we may have something for the Chiefs.
I think they may have something this year going forward. You look at the additions they made on defense and everything that they have. I feel like their team in the AFC, we're going to get into a point where it's going to be that dark horse talk and everybody's going to say the Houston Texans is the team that nobody is talking about. Whether they win a Super Bowl or not, I'm not going to say that now in March, but I think they're a real player in the AFC.
Chris, you pumped the brakes on the Texans. Are we too excited or are they for real?
No, I'm going to agree with everything that you're saying. Okay. I love DeMeco. I love Nick Cassero because I think that he was a huge part of what they built in New England for a long time. And I think given the time, he was only going to be able to do that in Houston. But winning, doing one thing one year, right, we're turning the page to the next year. Yeah, sure. So it's tough to win in this league. You know this, right? And I think C.J. Stroud's going to have to take some big leaps this year. Sure. I mean, he's going to have to continue what he's doing. I mean, it was unbelievable what he did last year, right? But again, it's tough to win this league. So I think they're going to have to continue to really build on this team. I love the additions that they made. Guys want to come back. They obviously are excited about playing with DeMeco. So it'll be interesting to see how they play. But I'm going to say that Houston's a contender.
Well, this is where if it was another show, I would be all incredulous. And I'd start screaming at you guys. Are you ridiculous? These guys are terrible. They're going to choke. Like, that's nonsense BS. We don't do that on this show.
Nope.
So I'm actually going to actually agree with you. So here's the deal. I looked in the past. The Texans, you got to think of, like, they dropped their first album, and it's like it's a smash. It's platinum, like a hot album.
Yeah.
Boom, blowing up. Rookie head coach and rookie quarterback together, and just massive, multi-platinum album. What is the follow-up album? A lot of times that second album, you get famous, you get money. Like, it's just the magic isn't there in the studio.
Might be the single.
This might be it. It might be. So you look at some comps, all right? Last times over the last couple decades, couple years, we've had first-year head coach, first-time head coach, and rookie quarterback. Sometimes they make a splash, right? What happens in that second album? Guys, it goes well.
Really?
Andrew Luck and Chuck Pagano, right back to the playoffs in the second year. Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan, right back in the playoffs the next year. Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh, right back to the playoffs next year. There was no dud second album, and I don't see one here. I think they have next. I think, listen, it's March. It's tough to predict.
Yeah.
I think the AFC North cannibalizes itself. I think the AFC East cannibalizes itself. I think the West is going to be absolutely wild and unpredictable because of Jim Harbaugh. I don't love the South. We have the draft yet to come, but, like, I don't see anybody who's like, they really got something cooking. Maybe Jacksonville, but we've been waiting on Jacksonville. Yeah. I also think it's interesting to look at this year's draft through the lens of the Texans. So go back to right after last year's draft. Bryce Young, he's the man. CJ Stroud is like, yeah, he's this other guy. There was a lot of criticism. He didn't have the sizzle. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they're like, all right, they went up for Stroud. I guess, look what happened that season. It really, I don't know if it could have gotten much worse for Young. I don't know if it could have been much better for Stroud. So when it happens this year, and it's your Drake Mays and your Nixes and your Williams, don't everybody just judge the team. Just wait till the games play out, because it doesn't always go like you want. But I'm sitting here, and I would love to create a TV segment and argue with you guys. The Texans are fake fugazi. They're going to fall on their faces. History says they won't, and everything I saw with my eyes says they won't. Offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, easily could have had coach of the year. I like what they have cooking, especially in that division. I'm in on the Texans.
I think there's also this vibe about CJ Stroud, too. While he's in the midst of this unbelievable year, and you mentioned, like, at one point MVP talk, it never felt like he was satisfied. It never, while I think people on the outside were looking at, like, look at this unbelievable year, when you watch him and his demeanor and even him on the sidelines, it never felt like he was like, yeah, I'm having a great year. I mean, this was a rookie that felt like he should be in there competing. And you take a step back and big picture of what they've done. They were two games away from being in the Super Bowl. They were tied at halftime against the Baltimore Ravens, who a lot of people thought would be in the Super Bowl. Obviously, that second half fell apart. But when you watched Stroud, even in that game, and how devastated he was by the way it ended, you never got the sense that he was like, what a good run, what a good rookie season for me. And I think, like, when you talk about someone's perspective, it would be easy. And I think a lot of us looked at it and said, yeah, like you said, great first album. I don't think he felt like that, which is what you want out of your quarterback, right? And then you go back to the division, which you were talking about, the Jaguars. They had that dream season where they were out of it, and Doug Peterson brought them back, and they went on that run. And we always sort of just expect whatever happened this season before to carry over to the next year. So the Jags go on this unbelievable run, and they were basically written in as the division champs before last season started, right? The Jags, look at what they did the previous year. Yeah. They're going to win. And then they struggled last season. The Titans are definitely a new-look team. We don't know what they're going to get. I don't think the Jags got better with Calvin Ridley departing the team, given the potential he had with Trevor Lawrence there to get better and grow. We don't know what's going to happen with Anthony Richardson. We know they love him there in Indianapolis, but did we have a huge sample size on what he can do? Yep. So that division, back to your point, Kyle, is so up in the air. But there was nothing about this Texans team that seemed like they were like, pat on the back, we did a great job. Mm-hmm. It felt the entire time that they had this belief that we're in it, we can compete, we can win it. And it feels like they'll kick off the season the same way.
One of the challenges going to be for them is last year, no one was talking about you. You finished last in your division. Now you come back this year, you're finishing first in your division. So you're playing against those other AFC divisions, their best team. So
that's
the schedule is going to be a little bit different.
True.
But also, people are looking at the Texans on the schedule. It's like, all right, we got to come play. So now, to your point, can you do it when there's a target on your back and teams are gunning for you, opposed to that last year where you're sneaking up on people? So I'm excited about him. We'll see.
Going back to Doug Peterson, you know what Doug Peterson did in his second year as a head coach for the first time? He won a Super Bowl.
The Eagles.
There's some other the other coaches to do that. Bill Belichick did it in his second season. Mike Tomlin did it.
Yeah.
DeMeco Ryans, you got next.
It's incredible.
Huh. No pressure, though.
You're impressed with Stroud? Like, you look at him as a guy. I mean, he's so young.
Yeah, he's young. Again, I'd like to see him progress and do it again, right? I mean, he did great things last year, but you know, we're turning the page, right? Let's take that next leap and just continue to grow. I mean, and it'll be interesting to see what he does.
You ever
played
with a rookie quarterback playing meaningful snaps?
Yes.
Who?
Played with EJ Manuel when he was drafted in Buffalo.
Right. They had a lot of hopes for him. A
lot of hopes.
What do you think? Never mind EJ Manuel when you talk about him. Yeah. But like, what do you think went wrong, like, as a rookie?
It's tough. It's tough to play. There's a lot of expectations as a rookie, right? And then if you're brought in to be that franchise quarterback, the guy that's supposed to turn this franchise around, and it doesn't happen,
it's tough.
Then it's tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's that makes or breaks your career. So for Stroud, I mean, I loved what all the hate that he got pre-draft and leading up to the draft, I mean, which was ridiculous. We weren't talking about football. We were talking about a cognition test.
Yeah, no, for
real. Let the kid play football first, and he went out there and proved everybody
wrong.
He's
got a great makeup, too. Like, he seems like he has a poker face. He's very devout in his faith. Like, I feel like he is really focused and steady.
Yeah.
And there were some ups and downs. And then, listen, that great Joe Flacco experience that we saw last year with Cleveland, they broke that thing over their knee.
Rush.
That was nothing. They were awesome. It was a great win.
EJ Manuel's at home somewhere. Like, if I had better receivers, I might have.
They gave me this dude who plays lacrosse.
EJ.
I don't know. How am I supposed to win with him?
Robert Woods. Marquise Goodwin.
They had some guys. They had some guys.
Steve Johnson.
Chris Hogan.
Chris Hogan.
Chris Hogan. He could have had Hulk Hogan. He wasn't going to win. All right.
Yeah, okay. We got to get to where the action is. You know where the action is? Guys, the action is at breakfast this morning. That's where we have to get to. Ian Rappaport, Mike Garafolo at the annual league meeting in Orlando.
Look at that action.
Give us the latest on what's happening there.
A lot of people eating.
You know, I know there was a big report yesterday that the breakfast line shut down earlier than expected. A lot of people were upset. What's happening there, guys, today?
Yeah. Yep.
Listen, the only people more upset than the people who didn't get the breakfast are the defensive players about the hip drop tackle. The swivel hip drop tackle. Keep that part in there because regular hip drop tackles still legal, but they banned the NFL officially. The swivel hip drop tackle, which is anything where a defender's grabbing a guy, he's getting up in the air, he's swinging around, anything he can to come down to cause injury. Now, there were 230 of these by the NFL's count last year that, under the new rule, would be penalized. Of those 230 plays, 15 players got injured and missed time going forward. So that is a high incidence of injury, and that is why they ruled yesterday to ban the hip drop swivel hip drop tackle.
Right, and you know, I understand the chorus of defensive players on social media and otherwise saying, what can we do? Like, if you ban this, you ban that, you ban all the things, we can't hit high, we can't hit low, what can we do? And as Jeff Miller, the NFL's executive for health and safety, said yesterday, not that. I mean, that is one thing clear. Whatever it is, you can't do that. It is a play that has a disproportionate number of injuries compared to the amount of times that it occurs. We've seen some very significant ones. Whatever it takes for a player like Mark Andrews to not break his leg after a routine tackle in the open field, I am for that. Mm-hmm. And the NFL is for that. They have now done away with the hip drop tackle. Obviously, significant development yesterday. We still do not have finality on the kickoff rule. The NFL's hybrid kickoff rule also set to be discussed today. Could they vote? I would say it's possible. They could also kick it to May if they don't get to a consensus. You know, as your good friend John Mara told you yesterday, some owners went into the cocktail hour or the cocktail party last night, which you and I were both in attendance at, that there was going to be some vote wrangling going on about the new kickoff. What did we find out?
Some arm twisting. John Mara had Jerry Jones in an arm bar and said, you better pass this thing tomorrow. No, maybe it had been about something else, actually.
That's a joke, by the way. That did not happen.
NFC East. No, that did not happen. I did see John Mara. I didn't see Jerry Jones last night. But yeah, the hope is that today, because Rich McKay, the chairman of the competition committee, made a good point. He said, we've got a draft coming up, and we've got teams that have to make decisions. Still have some free agents, by the way, that are waiting for the new kickoff rule to potentially be passed.
Cordarrelle Patterson is one.
Cordarrelle Patterson is a big one right there, to see what it's going to be like. If there's going to be more returns, these returners suddenly become more valuable. And McKay, referencing Devin Hester going into the Hall of Fame, they would like to have that in the game. They'd like to have some exciting returns back in the game, and they would like to do it before the draft. So if it's kicked to the May meeting, those teams will be voting after the draft will have occurred. So the hope is that it's going to get done today. More conversation, potentially a vote, Sarah Walsh, and potentially some breakfast for everybody here involved. They're already in line behind me, I think.
We'll see. See if we get to breakfast.
You know what I like, Mike G? You got breakfast covered. You have cocktail hour covered. I mean, you just every angle there at the annual league meeting. Mike G and Ian Rappaport.
Sun up to sun down.
Yeah. Why not combine them? Just give us the mimosas, bottomless mimosas. That's what they want.
Why not? A bloody bar.
More
just
of a bloody
it.
Kind of guy, but yeah, I guess.
Come on.
Yeah, bloody bar.
Come on. Why not? You know, we might as well. Let's go. Get some shoe drivers.
I got a couple of. May have a couple of small bottles in here. Let me check.
No, I bet you do.
I think I left them in the room.
I thought you were just happy to see me, Mike. Great job, guys.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The time is now.
McCarthy to throw in the end zone.
The time is now.
And there goes J.J. McCarthy.
By McCarthy, who throws, caught, touchdown Wolverines.
He's gone deep, the catch is made.
It is time for another edition of Buy-In or Keep Trying. I'm going to tee up a statement. If you agree, you're going to say buy-in. If you disagree, you're going to say keep trying. So there's a lot of questions surrounding which quarterback is going to be taken when and by who. And while discussing the Commanders pick at number 2 overall, our own Tom Pelissero had an interesting note about what the executives around the league think Washington's going to do with their pick.
It's been really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially at the top of the draft, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number 2 is J.J. McCarthy.
All right.
Okay.
On top.
Hey, J.J.
So the statement is this. The Commanders are going to draft J.J. McCarthy with the 2nd overall pick. Are you guys buying or should they keep trying? Jason.
I'm going to keep trying on this one. All right. So I got into this sports media stuff last year. I went through one draft.
Go on.
And what I've learned is you do not believe all the hoopla, all the talk leading up to it. Last year, it was always Bryce Young 1, C.J. Stroud number 2. As the draft continued to creep closer and closer, it was Will Levis and the mayonnaise and the coffee and the banana peel. Yep. And then it was Anthony Richardson doing backflips at Pro Day. And it was like, one of these guys are going to steal the show. Someone's going to draft them extremely high. C.J. Stroud, S2 Cognition Test, all of those different things going to bump him out. Draft came and went. C.J. Stroud went number 2. Richardson 4 and Levis in the 2nd round. I'm not believing all of the hype. Forever we've talked about, all right, Caleb Williams is going to be one. The question has been, is it Drake May or is it Jaden Daniels at their number 2 pick? I think J.J. McCarthy is flying up draft boards. Ton of winning at Michigan. Good for him. I think he still goes at the top of the draft, but I'm going to keep trying on this one. Okay. I think it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
I'm buying.
You're buying.
Buying it?
Let's go, Hogan. Come on.
I've heard... You listen to Jim Harbaugh talk about this kid.
Oh,
I mean, he has literally nothing but good things to say. Best pro day he's ever seen. Best quarterback to ever come out of Michigan. Right? I'm buying. I think that the Commanders are going to take a closer look at this kid. And there's I think there's a real chance that he gets taken number 2.
A week ago, I would have said, come on. What are we doing? Now I'm starting to buy. And I'll tell you why. Jason, you talked about last year's draft. I've been able to cover many drafts. My favorite draft is 2018, and I'll take you back. The pick for weeks, months, even over a year was Sam Darnold. Cleveland's going to take Sam Darnold. It's a done deal. And if not, you go with the most quarterback ready and the guy in the class, Josh Rosen. He looks like a professional. Then there's this crazy guy from Wyoming, and then there's this Lamar from Louisville. Baker Mayfield went number 1 overall, and it was unthinkable. He flew up over the last month. It was like... He ran the perfect campaign and went to the number 1 overall pick in a quarterback loaded draft. And you wouldn't think so. He's too short. He doesn't have the mobility, whatever, whatever. I've seen this happen before. Now, I think if there wasn't the Caleb factor, we could be talking about JJ going all the way to the top. For real. I've seen it's the same thing with Baker. He won. He's competitive. He's got the moxie. He's got the intangibles. The coach is singing about him. I'm now at a place where I think this could happen. And I also, like, I know there's a lot of times and you're like, does JJ have the athleticism? And I've even, like, kind of doubted it myself. I was watching some clips from the Alabama game, Michigan-Alabama. Yeah. Do you remember when they did the throwback trick play and JJ caught it with one hand, reverse pivoted, and then threw it down? That's one of the most athletic plays I've ever seen. I mean, that was unbelievable. I've seen, I know a lot of quarterbacks who have been all pro who could not make that play in a game. So I'm going to just my roundabout way of saying, A, I think he's better than we're giving him credit for. It's more than just the wins. And I've seen guys shoot up the boards late that would think unthinkable. I think we could be him at two. I mean, it's smokescreen season. I get it. Maybe they take one of the other guys and he falls. I'm at the point where it's not laughable. At this point, I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen.
Let me go back to the smokescreen thing because I'm with Jason. At this point, I don't believe anything. So, Chris, you're talking about Jim Harbaugh says he's the best quarterback. Yeah, he just won him a national championship.
So draft him. Yeah.
Like, but like the reality is, and this isn't to say that Jim Harbaugh doesn't believe it, but of shouldn't his coach say those things about him? I mean, shouldn't Jim Harbaugh say those things about him?
Yeah, they all do, right?
Yeah, so I mean, how can you look at that and go, I mean, it's not like there's no bias to that.
There's, I mean, there's a little bit of bias to it, but, I mean, the kid's backed it up since he's been at Michigan. And then, I mean, the pro day is on film, right? He's going out there making the throws. Everyone's there watching it and evaluating him. So if teams are going to get more interested in this kid, the Commanders are going to do more homework on him, they're going to go back and watch the film and really see if Jim Harbaugh is actually speaking the truth.
Yeah.
So the kid can play. There's no doubt about that. He won the national championship. Like, we're not sitting here saying that this is an unthinkable thing for him to get drafted and keep going all the way up the board. But, you know, I mean, listen, time will tell, right? Who knows how he is in the NFL? But, I mean,
imagine if a coach was like, yeah, that guy, I don't know. I wouldn't take him. Like, that doesn't really happen. The only thing I can remember is Pete Carroll was not excited that Mark Sanchez was entering the pros.
Yeah.
And he nuked him a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was different. Listen, I still want to, on the record, it's not for me up that high because everything that comes up about JJ is his winning, which is fine. And the word intangibles always comes up.
Yeah.
Intangibles are great. You know what's even better than intangibles? Tangibles. I want more tangibles that high, and I don't know if he has them.
Don't give me the intangibles.
I want tangibles.
Give me the tangibles.
At number two overall, there got to be some tangibles.
And to your point of running the perfect campaign, he has done that. He goes
absolutely
out of the combine, he throws his pro day. He looks excellent throwing the ball, doing the things that we said at Michigan he wasn't asked to do. We'll see. I like J.J. McCarthy. He's a good player. Won all that good stuff.
It's just
not about not liking him, right? I just think the draft is such a weird social experiment that if we have these players listed this way, it can't just stay that way. Mm-hmm. You know what? It just can't because you give people enough time to sit there and pick something apart, to your point, C.J. Stroud.
I'm sitting here thinking Jim Harbaugh's going to trade Justin Herbert and draft him. I mean, like, who knows what Harbaugh's capable of? He likes him that much. So draft him, Jim. He's the best quarterback ever. Get him.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is time now for the lead block. The annual league meeting is taking place right now in beautiful Orlando, Florida. So many owners, GMs, coaches down there in the Sunshine State. And so is NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, who caught up with Bears head coach Matt Eberflus earlier this morning.
Matt, a big question everybody here is asking. Have you made the decision? Will the beard stay for the 2024 season?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. My girls, you know, my two daughters like it. My wife likes it. So, yeah, it's going to stay.
You also got a little bit of a decision on the number one overall pick. How locked in are the Chicago Bears right now and what you're going to do? And can we cut through everything else and just say it's Caleb Williams?
Well, I would just say that we're going through the process. And we got a few more weeks to do that. And when we get back, we're going to really start, you know, going through the tape one more time and making sure we're all squared away with the decision.
You have had time with Caleb. I saw you in the background of all the shots out at USC Pro Day. What have your interactions been like with him? And if he is, in fact, the pick, how all in do you feel he is on being a Bear?
Yeah, it was great. You know, we went out there the night before, had dinner with him, and then we spent a lot of time with him the next day before the Pro Day, and it was outstanding. He's an outstanding young man, and everything, you know, looks great in terms of his, you know, personality, his character, his football knowledge, and we got a lot of information there from that visit.
I know Ryan Poles had said you wanted to do right by Justin Fields in this process. Was probably going to be someplace else. He ends up in a good situation in Pittsburgh. When it came right down to it, though, a guy who's worked that hard, who I know you like as a person, what was that conversation like?
Yeah, you know, so we did it together. You know, Ryan and I did it together at my house, and we called Justin, and it was tough. It's a tough decision to make, but we also, you know, cherish the time that we had together, you know, and I told him that I love him, and we just sat and visited for a while and wished him the best, and he did the same.
You also made a big acquisition through a trade. Tell me about Keenan Allen at this stage in his career. What could he get from him?
Yeah, that's great. Keenan's an unbelievable pro. He's been that for a long time. You know, obviously me being a defensive guy, he's a hard cover for sure. And we are certainly excited to have him.
You're 30 days away from the NFL draft. Then we can talk about who you picked, who your quarterback's going to be, but just your outlook. You guys finished so strong last season. How excited are you about the 2024 Bears?
Yeah, it's great. You know, we've had 2 years to build foundation, you know, and you're bringing in these blue players at 1 and 9, and we're excited about the free agency class that we brought in this year. And, yeah, it's an exciting time.
Good luck, Matt. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
The Bears are on the clock, and they are going to be busy. They got 2 picks in the top 10 in April's draft. Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock has 4 quarterbacks coming off the board in the first 4 picks. Not surprisingly, though, he's got Caleb Williams heading to Chicago, which feels more and more likely as we approach the draft next month. So assuming that that is the pick, guys, what are realistic expectations for the Bears with Caleb Williams?
Let's go, Jason.
It's like, get ready. This is the time. Caleb Williams goes to Chicago. All the catchphrases come out. It's going to be like, sky's the limit, untapped potential for the Chicago Bears offense. Keenan Allen, and everybody's going to be talking about and putting all these lofty expectations. When there's going to be people that say, well, remember, he's a rookie quarterback. There's a transition. There's an adjustment period that they all go through. So don't put too much on him. I look at it, and Kyle, you did this in the first hour, where you go back and you look at history.
Sure.
First overall draft picks, which teams go to the playoffs? When you start talking about expectations, that's kind of where you draw the line. Are they going to be a playoff team or are they not? It's happened 9 times in the NFL. Team draft first overall, and that team goes to the playoffs the next year. Only 2 times was it after drafting a quarterback. One of those times was in 04 when Phillip Rivers was drafted. He didn't play. Drew Brees was the guy. So you go back to 2012, the Indianapolis Colts, they draft a quarterback. That was Andrew Luck, and they go to the playoffs. You said it earlier in the 7 o'clock hour. They went to the playoffs that year and the year after with Chuck Pagano and Andrew Luck as their quarterback. For the Chicago Bears, you get Caleb Williams in there. We've already talked about the guys that they brought in on the offensive side of the ball. They finished the year pretty solid last year, winning 7 games. You look across their division, you're looking at the Green Bay Packers, you're looking at the Detroit Lions.
I don't know that Caleb Williams gives him enough to be able to get over that type of hump in year one as a Chicago Bear. Are they going to be much improved? Of course. They're a team that was ascending last year. In their locker room, Justin Fields was a guy that, and you hear where Eberflus talks about him, Holes, they came together, gave him a phone call, told him they loved him and what he meant to the organization because he gave everything he had. I think there's a lot of guys in that locker room who absolutely love Justin Fields. Caleb Williams is going to have to come in, and I said it before, you come in as a rookie, you go out there and play well, guys are going to love you and going to respect you. You can talk all about the things he did at USC, Hollywood, all this. You go out there and you play well, that's all that matters. Guys want to win games. I think this is a team that has improved. I don't see them as a playoff team. I think realistic expectations, they take another step offensively and they win maybe 8 or 9 games, but I do think they fall short of a playoff.
Let me ask you guys, Chris, I want you to weigh in on this. Caleb comes in unlike any rookie ever.
Yeah.
There's all these rumors that he made millions of dollars last year. He's wealthy, a lot of fame, LA. Like, it's just, it feels different. How do you feel as a veteran in the locker room? As a guy who comes in already that famous, he's got endorsements, he's made a ton of money, is that tougher to win the locker room? And what's the challenges there?
No, I don't think it's going to be tougher to win the locker room. He's going to win the locker room with how he plays. Yeah. Right? And I think that's really all. I mean, do all these kids coming out of college, these big-name guys, I mean, they're making money, and rightfully so, right? Yeah. Their name and likeness, and they're actually benefiting from it. What Caleb has to come in and do is really lean on the weapons that he has on offense, DJ, Keenan Allen, right? I mean, who knows how he's going to be as a football player, how he's going to compete, right? I mean, he did a lot of great things at USC, so I think the guys that are in this locker room already, they're going to have to help him a ton. Do I think that this team is going to be a playoff team? No, I don't, but I do think that if he comes in, he plays hard. You know, he wins the locker room with how he competes on the field and can get the ball to his playmakers. You know, I think that he'll have a decent season, right? I mean, it's not a playoff season. I don't think it's a playoff team, but I think that he can take some positive steps.
Mm-hmm. Respect your opinion. I'm going to offer a counter.
Yeah. And,
I want to give you guys, Chris, let me ask you, do you golf?
I do.
I know you do.
Yes,
you're
I do.
You're probably really good USOB. I bet you're incredible. What are you, 3 handicap?
1.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Sarah, we know your feelings on the sport of golf. Jason, you don't golf. I don't really much. All right, so, but let's do a little closest to the pin. All right? Okay. I'm going to show you, don't show it yet. I'm going to show you 3 defensive statistics for the Bears last year, arguably the 3 most important statistics in defense. And I'm going to show where they ranked over the last 6 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. So for each statistic, the number is the same. Like it's 12th, 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 8th, 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 20th, 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 whatever. Closest to the pin. In these 3 defensive statistics I'm going to show you, where do you think the Bears are going to rank in the league over the last 6 weeks? Chris, pick the number.
8th.
You think they're going to rank 8th, 8th, 8th. Okay, Jason?
The Chicago Bears, they finish strong.
Defense.
I'm going to say they rank, I'm going to say 12th.
12th,
they take a step
8th,
up from the year before.
12th. 12th. Sarah, what do you think?
This is the last 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And Chris, so then I'll go lower. Chris went 8.
8 and 12.
I'll go 5th.
Okay. 5th, 12th, 8th, closest to the pin. First in points per game allowed, first in rushing touchdowns allowed tied, and first interception. I also want you to know that those 13 interceptions, that is the most in a 6-game streak since the heyday of the Legion of Boom in Seattle.
Oh.
Wow.
The Bears' defense was cooking at the end of the season. Nobody remembers this. They blasted the Lions down the stretch.
Yep.
They won by 2 touchdowns over the Dan Campbell Lions, who should have been in the Super Bowl. Now, they were not a good team. They did not have a good record, and they finished the season only scoring 9 points offensively. Look it up. That day, the Jordan Love Packers also headed to the playoffs, scored 13 points.
Mm-hmm.
The defense was awesome. The offense was not. Enter Keenan Allen. Enter DeAndre Swift. And enter Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, I'll say it right now, will break the streak for Chicago Bears. They have never had a 4,000-yard passer. He will have it in his rookie year.
Year one.
He will have 4,000 yards in year one. They will come out throwing. They will come out running. That offense is ready. The defense was one of the best in the NFL in the last 6 weeks, if not the best. Remember, Eberflus, defensive guy, older guy, old school, defense, hit, tackle. He got this thing working finally. They couldn't get the offense working. It just wouldn't work. In Justin Fields' finale, he scores 9 points in his last game as a Bear against the arch rival. Goodbye. Enter Caleb, huge talent, much better set of weapons in front of him.
They also have the 9 pick who's going to be in there who might be another weapon, or it'll be a defensive player and an edge rusher you throw into one of the best defenses at the end of the year last year. The 4,000-yard streak will be broken. I don't think a wild card is out of question. I'm telling you, at the end of the season, as good as they were, don't forget what they did to Detroit, who's going to be the big dog in that division this year along with Green Bay. They have issues to settle with the Packers. They always do historically. 4,000 yards this year, one of the best defenses in football, and one of the highest upsides on offense. I like the Bears this year. Caleb, the 9 pick, everything else, I'm into it, guys. I don't apologize for it.
Week 14, they beat Detroit by 15 points.
Yep.
And down that stretch, they beat Minnesota on Monday Night Football in Minnesota. They lost to the Browns by 3 points.
Ridiculous collapse by the Bears. Should have won the game. They blew it.
And so, again, then after you put up that full screen, they're obviously going to win the division now. So, so I'm going to change my answer.
We'll see.
And you know what's funny, though? I do think that people... I know that this is maybe stating the obvious, but you just think first overall pick in the draft, it's because, you know, you had a terrible season. This isn't why they're the first overall pick. I mean, this was a team that was already ascending, to your point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know people know that, but it's like we're just so used to and accustomed to. I mean, they're only the first pick in the draft because of the trade with the Panthers and all that. Mm-hmm. And then you have a 1 and a 9. So it's a different position for the number one team than we usually see. So, mm-hmm. yeah, they're starting. Caleb is starting at a different jumping off point than where a lot of guys that are pick number one are going to be starting off.
Yeah.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone. What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.